there are some things I feel like God has dealt with me about. And it's just a simple message.
Come on.
It's just a simple message. And if I was to put a title on it, I would call it Beyond the Cross.
Praise the Lord.
Beyond the Cross. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 2. And we'll start with the 13th verse on that. But Ezekiel 18 and 30 writes, "Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin."
Right.
Amen. Now in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it reads, And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us," amen, "which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way,"
yes,
"nailing it to his cross."
Thank God.
Amen. Yes. He took those things, Brother Scotty, that was written down against us. Yeah. All of our faults, all of our failures,
right,
all of our stumblings. And he took it to a place called Calvary.
All right.
And he nailed it on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But what I want to get to first, amen, if you would, what did the cross mean to God? Mm-hmm. It meant the turning away of his wrath.
Right.
Is what the cross was about, Brother Tommy. Because a just God, a holy God, commands, amen, justice for sin.
Yeah.
Payment for sin. Mm-hmm. And that's the wrath of God. Why did God do it this way? Because as an infinite God of infinite holiness, all sins committed against him are infinite in magnitude.
Right.
Only a gift of infinite value could turn away the infinite wrath of God. Mm-hmm. And only God himself, in the person of his Son, could make such an infinite gift.
Thank God.
That's why our piddling efforts to turn aside God's wrath are doomed to failure. We think that going to church or being baptized or going to mass or saying our prayers or being good or stopping a bad habit or trying really hard to be better will somehow turn away this infinite wrath of God. The wonder of propitiation is that the offended party, who is God,
right,
who has every right to be angry at sinners himself,
all right,
offers the gift, the death of Christ, to turn away his own wrath,
right,
thus making it possible for guilty sinners to be forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what the cross meant to God. It pleased God to crush him on the cross.
Yes,
he said, what did Ezekiel or Isaiah told us? That it pleased God to do that. Why would it please God to do his Son like that? My, to see him treated that way. Well, you know what? Churches nowadays, they don't preach the atonement anymore.
No.
They don't preach the blood anymore. All they got, Brother Tommy, is social programs going on. They want to talk about is their social programs, what they're going to be doing, what dinner they're having, where they're going, how they're going to do this, and how they're going to do that.
Right.
But nobody wants to preach the cross anymore.
Right.
Nobody wants the atonement of the blood anymore. Yeah. They say, oh, it's just a bloody religion. Yeah, you better know it's a bloody religion.
Yes.
God requires a payment. Because of our sin.
Right.
God required it. Amen. In the beginning, when Adam sinned, Adam comes and he sinned against God.
Yeah.
And God demanded a payment. He demanded justice. He's a holy God. Now, if he wasn't a holy God, if he wasn't, amen, just, he'd just let it sweep it under the rug.
That's it.
Right, right.
Yes, Lord.
But he's a holy God.
Woo.
He wanted payment for sin. But God had a dilemma. He had to come up with a plan. How was his wrath going to be appeased?
Uh-huh.
And still him being a loving God.
Right.
At
right.
the same time. Woo, there ain't nobody down here that can do that.
No.
You take, for instance, your judges. You go before a judge here in this world, and you stand before him because you committed a crime. Do you think most of the time he's going to let you go, especially if you committed something on a federal level? You kill somebody?
Yeah.
Or even take it to things like that. Do you think you're going to go before that judge and say, oh, judge, I'm sorry. You think, okay, all right, go on.
No.
You think that's going to happen?
No.
It's not going to happen, Brother Scotty.
No, sure.
There's got to be a payment. There's got to be reputation
right.
for it.
Right, right.
There's got to be a payment for that sin.
No.
And God requires a payment for our sins.
Yes.
There ain't a one of us in here that never had to stand there, Brother
Tom. That's right, Brother Tom.
Every single one of us had to pay for it.
Thank you, Lord.
But what Adam did when he sinned against God, and God required a blood sacrifice. He required a blood sacrifice.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The second Adam became what the first Adam couldn't do.
Thank you.
Right.
He became the blood sacrifice.
Holy Lord.
People today, Brother Scott, in these churches, they don't want to preach the atonement anymore, or the blood. No. They didn't want to preach the cross anymore. No. I used to work with a fellow at Cisco, and he was telling me, oh, he was proud of it down in Siloville there, out there off 52 there, somewhere they built a real big church. He was bragging about how they built this big church. And he said, oh, here's how we designed it. We don't have a pulpit or an altar. We designed it to where the seats will fold up and move out of the way, and it becomes a big gymnasium. And after the mess, and after service, we all get together and play ball. No place to kneel. No place to call on God. No Spirit of God to deal with somebody's heart, amen, and bring conviction in their life. Because they're too busy worrying about playing ball. They're too busy with their social programs, Brother Chuck, and they don't want to preach the atonement anymore.
You're preaching right. Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
I was thinking about these big mega churches we see around. How they're filling them by capacities.
They are. Yep.
Thousands, and they're overflowing, and they have to build bigger because they're overflowing. And they're getting all the people in there. And all they want to do is preach prosperity to them in a tickling of the ear. They don't want to tell them about the blood. They don't want to tell them about their sins. They don't want to tell them that they need to bow before an almighty God. And he requires payment.
Yes, Lord.
Come on. He requires justice. He requires payment from us. They don't want to tell them that, Brother Scotty.
Holy Lord. Holy Lord.
Jesus told the Pharisees, he rebuked them one day. He said, you can pass land and sea, proselyte. And then when you make one proselyte, you make him twofold a child of hell than what you are.
You're right.
And that's exactly where our churches are standing today. They're making people a twofold child of hell than where they are.
Come on, bro.
Because they won't tell them about the blood of Jesus and the sins that will take you to hell if you don't get right before God, if you don't repent. Oh, just repeat after me. Just repeat after me.
No, Lord.
Y'all just say this prayer, oh God, and you'll be fine. You'll be saved.
No.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
I was thinking, there's a man, I worked with a man that just lost his wife. He found her dead the other day. And I remember here a while back, Brother Tommy, I know she'd been suffering from a lot of sickness because of abuse, substance abuse. And she was in a hospital here several months ago. And I told him, he was telling me about it. And I said, would you care if I come up and pray with your wife, son, talk with her? So I bring a brother from the church and we'll come up. No, she don't want nobody. She really doesn't want nobody to come visit her. I said, well, is she saved? Oh, yeah, she's saved. I said, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. But his speech betrays him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's
yes.
saved, but his speech betrays him.
My Lord.
Yeah.
You know what? These churches is going to, whoever's pastoring these churches that don't tell people the truth about sin, they're going to stand before God with blood dripping off of their hands, amen, for an almighty God, and he's going to require payment. And he said, your payment is bite this one hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness because I never knew him.
Woo. Holy Lord. Holy Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
I wish I could be on the radio telling these big churches that. Jesus said, you passed. Land and sea. You've gone there and you pulled them in. You proselyted them. When you make them one of yours, you've made them more a twofold child of hell than what you are.
Dear Lord.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Somebody tell me the truth. Somebody tell me the truth.
Yes.
Would you? Hey, I'm glad for this church. I want you to know. I'm glad for this church. I'm glad for what Brother Jason stands for. Yeah. I'm glad for what our people stand for, our preachers stand for. Yeah. I'm glad they'll stand and tell you the truth.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Lord.
Never, ever have I ever wanted anybody when I did wrong and fell. Never, ever, Brother Scotty, have I ever wanted anybody to pat me on the back and say, there, it's going to be all right.
No.
Never did I want that.
No.
I just want somebody to pray with me, help me to repent and get through with God. Help me make sure, amen, that the payment's been paid, that the blood is still there. Hey, come on, church. I don't ever want nobody to pat me on the back and and say, there, 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 it's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. Somebody tell me the truth that I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't repent. Somebody tell me the truth.
Praise you, Lord.
I don't want to be a twofold child of hell.
No.
Because somebody didn't tell me the truth.
Right. Oh God. Thank you, Lord.
And Almighty God requires a payment. A holy God requires a payment. He's not just some like corrupted judge like we got in offices today that'll sweep it right underneath the rug and let him go on. God said he's holy. He's just.
Yes.
And he demands a just payment.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Glory.
Know this. Making this is possible for sinners when the death of Christ to turn away his own wrath, thus making it possible for guilty sinners to be forgiven. Therefore, when we come to God through Christ, we come to a friendly Father and not to an angry God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
But here's the problem. I see so many, Brother Scotty, and you have too, and no doubt a lot of you have. You've seen them come to the altar to pray. And they've got up and walked away. And they've carried something beyond the cross that wasn't intended for them to carry. Sin dies here. Sin dies here at the foot of the cross.
Holy, holy, holy.
Sin has to die here. At the foot of the cross. I've seen somebody get up and pray and go back to their seat to be an alcoholic. And they say, and 2 weeks later, they're not even trying to serve God anymore. They say, I don't know, I can't get over it. I can't have it. You know why? You didn't let him nail it to the cross. You took it back with you. You didn't give it up at the cross. You took it back with you. And that's why you can't get over it. That's why you can't overcome it. Because you know what you're saying? Is that there's no power in the blood.
What you're saying.
I'm telling you, there's power in the blood.
Yes.
And it had to die here when they knelt. That sin had to die here when they knelt. I used to think, you know what? A long time ago, Brother Tommy, I used to think, well, when somebody got an addiction, they come to the Lord, and you know, and God's got to work with them and, you know, help them get over that as they go. That's garbage. That's sin, and sin had to die when they got up from the cross. Sin had to die, church. There's weights in it that we'll carry. There's weights that we'll have. But sin had to die.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Holy, 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 Lord.
Church, sin's got to die.
Thank you, Lord.
You can't carry it beyond the cross. You'll never get anywhere with God. You'll never get anywhere. That's why you find them so much in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Because they never let him nail it to the cross. They kept getting up and carrying it back with them. They kept getting up and having to repent over all over again when the power of the blood of Jesus will stop it when they let him nail it to the cross.
Yes. Nail it to the cross.
Yes.
When they confess it to God.
Whew.
Thank you. When they confess it, Lord, this is what I am. Lord, this is what I don't want to be anymore. Will you forgive me? Will you nail it to the cross? You know what? He's faithful and just to forgive us, Brother Tommy.
Yes, he is.
He's faithful and just to forgive us. If we ask, but if we get up on the altar and we take back and we go beyond the cross with that, it's not meant for you to carry those things back beyond the cross.
Jesus.
It's got to stop here.
Yes.
Sin has got to stop here.
Jesus, yes.
Yes.
Holy, holy Lord.
Even in this life, a price must be paid for breaking the law. When lawbreakers are set free with no punishment, respect for the law disappears. When assassins are not punished, respect for the presidency disappears. The same principles applies to raising children. When parents refuse to discipline with tough love, they end up raising criminals instead of raising responsible adults.
Right.
The same is true in the spiritual realm. When sin is not punished, it doesn't seem very sinful. God's problem was to devise a plan of salvation whereby he would remain holy and just. And still provide a way of forgiveness for guilty sinners. Somewhere, somehow, there had to be a place where grace and wrath could meet. And that place was the cross of Calvary. That's where grace and wrath met. God said he appeased my wrath. My son appeased my wrath. He died. He paid the price. You know what? I think as we go in life, Brother Tommy, we really forget how much of a price he paid for us.
Right.
I think as we go on, it just kind of slips away from us, and we begin to forget of all that he did for us. Hey, you know what? I read where one preacher said that when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted. He said, he knows what we're tempted about. He knows what we go through because he's experienced it. But you realize that he was tempted greater than us because he was sinless?
Mm-hmm.
So Satan had to try harder. Mm-hmm. Had to try harder to get him to stumble and to fall into sin.
Right.
But with us, he didn't have to try that hard.
Yeah.
With us, he didn't have to try that hard, church. So Jesus knows. Mm-hmm. He knows when we're tempted. He knows what we experience. He knows what we're going through because he's been through it worse.
Yes, he has.
Right.
Yes,
he's
has.
Experienced temptation worse and harder.
My Lord.
I thought, my. You know what Peter said? Peter wrote, he said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things.
Right.
First Peter 1. He said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold.
Yeah.
But we have been redeemed. You know what redeemed means? It means to be bought back.
Yeah.
You redeem something, you buy it back. So it had to be sold first time. Don't you realize when Adam sinned, he sold to the devil. He sold out to the devil. He sold life to the devil. He sold out everything to the devil. But there had to be a redemption. There had to be a price. And the Lord sent Jesus, the second Adam, and he redeemed us. What Adam lost, the first Adam lost,
yes,
the second Adam gained.
Woo!
Hallelujah. The second Adam gained.
Yeah.
I said the second Adam gained, church.
Right.
Praise God. Sin had to die. There had to be a price. And Jesus redeemed it. He bought back. Every single one of us was sold out to the devil at one time.
Hallelujah.
Every single one of us was sold out to the devil at one time. But we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It had to be the blood. Church, it had to be the blood. There had to be an atonement. Amen. Or there would be no salvation.
You're right.
Right.
Holy, holy Lord.
One man asked the preacher, he said, how do I know? How do I know when I've been transformed? How do I know that there's been a transformation taken in my life? And the preacher looked at him and asked him, he said, what are your desires?
Yeah.
What are your desires?
Yeah.
Have they been to be at God's house on Sunday mornings?
Yes.
Or would still rather be at home in bed? Is your desire rather to be out on the lake fishing on a Sunday evening or home watching the football game instead of going to God's house for worship? What are your desires?
Yeah.
You want to know if there's been a transformation? There's been a transformation. I remember the day, hey, I got saved in that Free Will Baptist Church as a young teenager, and God, and I went to church and I was learning of God. I was going a little bit, and I stayed home one time to watch the Dallas Cowboys play. I think it was the Vikings that day. Hey, it was my team, Brother Scotty.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nobody was better in the 1970s than the Cowboys. I loved that team. I knew everything about them. I knew all their stats. I knew the players. I can probably remember some of them now. Amen. But God dealt with my heart without even knowing. He said there had to be a transformation, man.
Yeah.
He began to deal with me in a Free Will Baptist church and say, son, it's wrong for you to stay home on a church night out of my house. Preacher didn't have to preach it. Nobody, mom and dad didn't have to say anything about it. But God began to preach this heart of mine. There was a transformation that took place in my life, and I had to give it up.
Woo!
Thank you.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
I had to give up the rock music. I had to give up, amen, the football. Why? Because it was ruling me and I didn't rule it.
All right.
It kept me home from God's house.
Thank you, Lord.
And I was just real young, learning, not knowing.
Jesus.
Nobody said a word to me about it. Nobody. Nobody. Didn't know a thing. Wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about that. God began to deal with this young man's heart.
Holy Lord.
Said, son, it's wrong for you to stay home watching that game when you should be in my house.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yes.
Come on, brother.
Yes.
Never heard a message about it once because they watched the football games too.
Yeah.
So in Dallas, they didn't preach against it because they watched it too. But that was my convictions.
Yes, Lord.
That's the way God was leading me.
Yeah, sir.
That was the path of righteousness he was leading me. And me and Brother Tommy saw this morning and said, David wrote, lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Why? Because if you're going to, why did he say it like that? Like I said this morning, David, when he wrote Psalms, he didn't realize how prophetic he was.
No.
But when he wrote Psalms, he said, Lord, that leads me Lord of my shepherd, I shall not want. May be led on green pastures, lead me beside still waters. Thou restorest my soul. Now lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. For who?
Thy name.
Who? His name, not me, not Tom.
Yeah.
He didn't lead me down that path for me. He didn't lead me down that path for you. He didn't lead me down that path. Hey, did he that for his sake.
Yeah.
If you're going to name the name of Christ, amen,
yeah,
then
right.
You better not bring a reproach upon the name of Christ.
Praise
and
God.
Follow the path of righteousness that he leads you in.
Yeah.
The Bible says, work out your own soul salvation
yeah.
with fear and trembling
yes.
before the Lord. Let him lead your path. Let him guide you.
Uh-huh.
It's not just for you, but it's for his name's sake.
Yes, sir.
This is all about him.
Wow.
This ain't about me. This ain't about you. This ain't about anybody else.
No, no.
This is all about him.
That's right.
He's the one that paid
yeah.
the price. He's the one that paid the ransom. He's the one that tell me that bought us back when we were sold out to the devil.
Uh-huh.
Woo!
So it's his name was at stake.
Yeah.
Know this, you serving God, it's his name that's at stake.
Yeah.
How are you going to represent him? What path
yeah.
are you going to walk?
Right.
Yes, Lord.
David
yes.
said, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. Nothing good in me, but it's for you.
Yes, God.
Oh, yes.
But where's the church today? You know what? I was thinking, Harry Ray told me that. He told me, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying, oh, I believe. There's more to it than just believing.
Right.
There's got to be a genuine repentance.
Well,
there's got to be a pouring out of the heart. There's got to be a breaking of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Instead of just standing up there and mocking some big preacher, all he wants is a body count in your tithing. There's more to it than just that.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Jesus paid a great price.
Great price, Bushaw.
A great.
Yeah.
The more I read, the more I studied, the more I was reading under Brother Tommy,
oh,
I realized myself. I was crying today, saying, oh God, I felt like I needed to say it all over again when I began to realize the price that he really paid. Have we forgotten, church? Have we really forgotten the price, amen, that was paid to buy us back?
Oh, God.
Oh my, we'll never fathom it. We'll never fathom it.
Holy God. Yes, Lord.
Why do we see people in and out? We see them come pray a few weeks later, they've given up because there's no leaving all of their sins at the cross.
Right.
We're carrying them beyond the cross, and we're carrying them. We're not meant to be carrying our sins beyond the cross.
Yes.
They are to be. If you're coming to the cross and you really want saved, they are to be abolished right here.
Right.
And he'll do it.
Yes.
He'll forgive us.
Yes.
And he'll make us clean. And he'll set us on a path.
Mm-hmm.
As a babe in Christ. And then we'll learn and we'll grow. And yeah, we'll stumble and we'll fall. Yeah, we'll make our mistakes. But there's always the cross.
Jesus.
There's always knowing that there's a price that was paid.
Yes.
For our sins. The paradox of salvation is this. God is a God of love and therefore wants to forgive sinners, but he is also a God of holiness who must not and cannot overlook sin.
Right.
How God could love sinners and yet not overlook their sin? No one would ever have dreamed of his answer. God sent his only son to die for sinners.
Right.
In that way, the just punishment for sin was fully met in the death of Christ, and sinners who trust in Christ could be freely forgiven. Only God could have done something like that. Thus, Paul says, God is both just in punishing sin and is the justifier of those who believe in Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Think of it. In the death of this one man, all the sins of human race are fully paid for past, present, and future. As a result, those who believe in Jesus find that their sins are gone forever.
Thank God.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the heart of the gospel. God's holiness demands that sin be punished. God's grace provides the sacrifice.
Yes.
What God demands, he supplies.
Right.
Thus, salvation is a work of God from first to last.
Yes.
It is conceived by God, provided by God, and applied by God.
Thank you, Lord.
You know this. The grace. There was a man, William Cowper. Some 220 years ago, there was a man in England by the name of William Cowper. He had a nervous disposition and often struggled with bouts of severe depression. At one point, he became extremely depressed, fearing that he was under the wrath of God. He said, "I flung myself into a chair by the window, and there saw the Bible on the table by the chair. I opened it up, and my eyes fell on Romans 3:25, which says, 'Of Christ, whom God has made a propitiation through faith in his blood.'" You know what that is?
Yes, yes.
It's a gift. Propitiation.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a gift from God. It's a gift from anybody that wants to make something right.
Right, right.
Payment. It's a payment to make something right. And Jesus is that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And God sent him.
Yes. Mom.
What a gift.
What a gift.
What a gift. The angels declared it at his birth.
Yes.
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
He said, through his blood. Then and there I realized, what the man was saying, that Christ's blood had accomplished. And I realized the effects of his atonement for me. I realized God was willing to justify me. And then and there I trusted Jesus Christ. And a great burden was lifted from my soul.
Oh,
looking back on that day, William Cowper wrote a hymn that we still sing today. There is a fountain filled with blood.
Amen.
Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood to lose all their guilty stains.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Because one man thought, amen, that he was under the wrath of God and found out there was grace in his son Jesus. Wrote a song that down through the ages, amen, has been used in hymn books and churches and singing about the grace
yes.
of God.
Yes, Lord.
My.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, because of the cross, salvation is now entirely free.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I hope when I'm done with this message tonight that you all realize and get a fresh look at the cross.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the accomplishments that Jesus has done.
Yes.
And to know that my sins, God demanded a payment for.
Mm-hmm.
And had it not been for Jesus, we'd all be in hell.
You're right.
We would all be doomed. There would be no hope, Brother Chuck, had it not been for the gift of God. Because of the cross, salvation is now entirely free. What then must I do to be saved? Must I be holy? Must I be good? Must I change my ways? Must I promise to clean up my act? Here's God's answer. Romans 3:24 says, "Freely by his grace." But the human heart cries out, "I must do something. I must make my contribution." So we clean up, we go to church, we pay our money, we go to our masses, we enter the waters of baptism, and on we think God will never forgive us until we do something to deserve it. You will never, ever do anything to deserve that payment.
Oh, yes, God.
You will never, I will never, nobody could ever do anything in his life to deserve that.
You're right.
I heard so many say, I'll serve God when I'm later in life, when I make things right, when I live a little better, when I do this. Oh, good intentions. Oh, good intentions. Well, that man I worked with at Cisco, Noah, he said he had a neighbor he invited to church one day, and him and his wife had three young kids they were adopting. And he said, "I tried to get him to come to church." He said, "I told him, 'Won't you come and go to church with me?'" He said, I'll pick you up. I'll take you. "Won't you come and go to church?" "No, not right now. We're going to. I promise you, we're going to. As soon as we get the adoption over with and everything settled, we're going to get in church." It wasn't just a matter of a few weeks after that, the trailer they lived in caught fire and every one of them died.
Oh, God.
Lost without God. He had every intention of going. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
By people down through the ages. "Oh, I got every intention to do it." Oh, you better do it fast, because times are winding up and things are getting ready to happen. Things are getting ready to take place.
Yep.
And you have no promise for tomorrow.
You're right.
Let's keep it under the blood. Let's keep it at the cross. We think God will never forgive us until we do something that we deserve. But it is not so. God gives his justification away freely. And if you try to pay for it, it'll get thrown back in your face. don't wait to get better.
Yes. Thank God.
How then do we receive God's gift of salvation? Simply by asking for it. How simple is that?
Yeah.
Leaving it at the cross. Mm-hmm. But people's carrying things beyond the cross that God says, I have no intentions for you to be carrying that beyond the cross.
Right.
It's got to stop here. The sin's got to stop here.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I was thinking about poor old Chester. I was thinking about this. He comes and prays and tries. He gets back up and he goes back out into the world, continues his drinking. He won't give it up. He said, I can't hear from God. God don't speak to me. I can't get forgiveness anymore. That's a lie of the enemy. He's so wrapped up in himself, he can't see that if he is to leave it at the cross,
yes,
Jesus will nail it on the cross.
Holy Lord.
And he can get up a free man. You say, is that possible? Well, there's a man I can tell you of, comes right to my mind, Brother Wilbur Chapin.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Yeah.
What's it, 38 years?
38 years.
38 years he was a drunk, laid on the riverbanks, used to hop the trains. He was a drunk, Catchburg. Everybody knew him as the old drunk.
Yep.
38 years, an alcoholic. People say, oh, I can't give it up. I can't give it up. I can't give it up. All it took was one trip. Brother Wilbur made to the altar. He got up and never looked back. I got to tell you, sin died right there. Why? Because he was tired of it. He was done with it. He didn't want to be known as the drunk of Catonsburg anymore. He wanted to be known as Wilbur Chafin, amen? He said it died. He never looked back. And God blessed him.
Yes.
It took him a long way.
Yes.
All the way to the grave.
Yes.
I love it. I love to hear it.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Tell me it ain't possible. Don't you? Let me tell you something. When you say it ain't, you're saying the blood of Jesus has no power. But I'm going to tell you something. It's the only thing in this world that has power enough to deliver us from sin. And it's got to be at the cross.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
come on, get us a song, Sister Miranda.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I hope you all walk away from here with a new perspective on the cross.
Yes,
God. On what Jesus did for us. I could go in and we could go into it and tell you all that he suffered. You know what all he suffered. You know how he suffered. But can I tell you this? It's 100 times more than what we can think of.
You're right.
Than what he suffered. He took the weight of this whole world on top of all of his physical beatings and his mental stress and everything. He took the whole weight of his sins. We can't fathom that.
No.
We can't understand that. But that's God's plan.
Yes.
That's how to appease his wrath, is through his son.
Yes.
Now, do you know what? When we stand before God without the blood of Jesus, then we're going to experience his wrath.
Yeah.
Because he's going to demand a payment.
Right.
He's going to say, why didn't you take the payment that I offered? Why didn't you believe Jesus? Why didn't you believe my son? And then we're going to make that payment, Brother Tommy, to the wrath of God because of our sin. But we don't have to. It can die right here.
Yes.
It can die at Calvary. All of your problems, all of your ills, sickness, and all, it can die at Calvary.
Yes.
Thank God.
Every single thing, Brother Tommy, that we go through in life can die at the cross.
Yes.
And we don't have to carry it beyond the cross.
Hallelujah.
Hold it.
Hallelujah. Come on.
So many people try, and so many people fail. Mm-hmm. It'll not go anywhere until it dies at the cross. You'll still have that addiction. You'll still have that problem.
Hallelujah.
But unless it dies at the cross.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You'd be like everybody else and just give up. Why do they give up? The Lord can help us at the cross.
Right.
Right. Right, Lord.
But it's got to die first at the cross. In these churches, it's not telling people that there has to be an atonement. There has to be shedding of the blood. It's they're worried about what kind of rummage sale or hot dog sale they're going to have or what. And I ain't saying all that's bad. But I'm saying when that's all your church consists of, and you've got a whole church full of people that's on their way to hell.
That's the truth.
Nah, I'm so glad for this church.
We're just the was called for a payment for sin. Oh, no one worthy will be found among men, but the precious Son of God with the cross and the crown. Pay debt, bring the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Free from sin, free to live now on
on the page.